Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Now, look here in Numbers 21, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 4. And in verse number four. I'll just start in verse four. Numbers 21:4 says, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." Now they're journeying, these Israelites. God set them free down by the Red Sea. I mean, he set them free in Egypt. Then he brings them up to the Red Sea and he parts the waters. And God rolls that water back like a scroll and lets them Jews go through there like a 10-lane highway. They walk right across there, dust boiling up under their feet. It was so dry. And when Pharaoh and his crowd come in behind them, God drowned them. And Moses wrote a song and they're off to the races, going to Canaan. They're headed for Canaan. Now, here it says, "And the people spake against God and against Moses." See, when you speak against God's man, you're speaking against God. And it said, "He spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loweth this light bread." Now look right here. When it says the wilderness, down here you got pine thickets and laurels and brush, and that's wilderness. You get back in these mountains, and you can get lost in wood. But that wasn't the case out here. But as far as you could see was sand and desert. So the wilderness out there, and I'll be honest with you, I would rather be wandering in the pine thickets than I would in this. Because there wasn't no water. You get in that desert, you're not going far. And so they're tired of the way, it says. And look at it. And it said, and they spoke against Moses, and they said this, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt," in verse 5, "to die in the wilderness, for there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loweth as light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.' And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." I'm going to preach to you tonight on when the serpent strikes, when the snake bites, when the snake bites. And listen, he still will. The devil will still bite you, won't he? He will. And I'm going to preach on tonight when the serpent strikes. Let's pray. Father, I pray tonight that you'll help me to be a blessing to the Amazing Grace Baptist Church and the dear pastor and his family. And I enjoyed, Lord, tonight their choir and then the special by the preacher and his children. God, thank you tonight for the message of song. And thank you, Lord, for the sweet spirit that's in this place. And God, for the wonderful crowd and our friends. And we just thank you for them. Now, Spirit of God, we need you tonight to help us to preach with your blessings and your power, that we might be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I said to you that they're journeying towards Canaan land. And Canaan is the land of victory. It was the land of milk and honey. I said, I think, Brother Charlie, up at your place the other week, a lot of songwriters mean well. And they write sometimes about Canaan as if to make Canaan sound like it's heaven, but it's not. Heaven is the place that God is prepared for you and me. But Canaan is heaven on earth. It's living in the victory lane and enjoying your Christian life. It's feasting in the land of milk and honey. It's enjoying God. And we don't have to endure the Christian life. We're supposed to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Amen. Too many people just trying to make it and get through, but we really ought to be enjoying it instead of enduring it. I got a preacher friend, Brother Barker. You know old Joe Pritchard. He might have even preached here. I don't know. Joe's up in his 80s. And I believe he might be the happiest man I ever met in my life. Old Joe's so happy. And this is the honest truth, what I'm telling you about him. When he got saved, they thought he lost his mind. People thought he lost his mind. They thought he went crazy. And they actually, he told me this. And I said, Joe, you're just telling me. He said, no, I'm serious. They had him committed. They thought something happened to him that he went crazy. He was so happy because all he did clap his hands and laugh and cry and thank God for being saved. That's how much God changed him. But then they found out he wasn't crazy. He was just saved. Amen. And he was enjoying being saved. And even now, he's up, I guess, Joe's up in his 80s. And if you see him, you know how your brother preacher, he'll clap his hands. I'll say, Joe, how you doing? He'll say, praise God. He'll say, I'm enjoying the Lord. And I enjoy it. It helps me to just talk to him there. But I really do believe that's the way God intends for us to enjoy. And everybody ain't made up alike. And everybody don't go around shouting and praising God all the time. Though if they did, there wouldn't be a thing wrong with it. Amen. But God, these Israelites, you have to understand something. They didn't have to pack a backpack with them. They didn't have to try to carry luggage. Listen, their shoes, sister, lasted 40 years. How would you like to have a pair that you could go in here and buy them and say, well, I guess about 40 years might need another pair? How would you like to have a coat or a suit that would last like that and it never wear out? I mean, it just didn't wear out. It lasted all their clothes. And every day, God, every day they had fresh manna from heaven that God put out there for them. All they had to do was pick it up and take it in and eat it. And then when they needed water, God wasn't going to let them go without water. When they needed it, God gave it to Moses out of the rock for them. But in this, I want you to understand something here. We see this, them complaining. And we see them murmuring. And the Bible said that they got discouraged. Here in this chapter, it said that they got, the soul of the people was discouraged because of the way in verse number 4. They got discouraged because of the way. Now here we see in this, we see a picture. We see a picture in this story of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, when Jesus was witnessing to Nicodemus there, in the 3rd chapter of John, he used this story. He said, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, verse 14, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So we see here a picture in this story. We see a picture of salvation. And then we see a principle. A principle is this. When people get to moving is this, that's when Satan strikes. Do you know that if you stand still, and there's a snake there, most of the time they won't move? Did you ever know that? You ever pay attention to that? You can stand there and watch one, he'll just sit there. Snake will just sit there. And I'm going to tell you something. I ain't going to stand and look at them myself. Amen. Back when I was raised in the mountains of West Virginia, and I'm not kidding, where I pastored over in Wyoming County, these people handle snakes. I mean, just over the hill. And somebody said to me, you ever handle one? I said, hoe handle? Amen. I mean, I'd take a hoe handle to one or chop his head off. But I wasn't going to pick no snake up, I'll tell you that. I'm like they said, Dr. Bill Rice, the brother of John R. Rice, they said that he was preaching on when God called Moses, you know. And God asked Moses, what's that in your hand? And Moses stuttered. And he told him, what's that in your hand? And he said, a stick. And he said, throw it down. So God said, Moses, throw that stick down. And then when it did, it become a serpent. And he said, now pick it up. Pick it up, God said to Moses. And Moses said, Lord, he said, I can't talk too good. And now I'm having trouble hearing too. Amen. He wasn't hearing what God said. Let me tell you something. Hey, I think I'd have trouble hearing too. Amen. But anyhow, here's a picture of salvation. But a principle is this: Satan's going to strike. And let me tell you something about this, Brother Charlie. Satan does not strike at churches that are not moving. You know something? You'll never see a liberal church split. They'll never have trouble. You know why? The devil don't strike at them. They're not moving. You take somewhere where a preacher wears a gown or a dress and preaching out of an NIV and he don't say nothing. Amen. They don't try to win anybody to God. They don't believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe in the blood atonement. They don't believe in the resurrection. Listen, and them people come in there and set through that little old mess he puts out. And then they trot out there and he hugs everybody that comes through there and kisses all the little babies. And everybody goes home. But let me tell you something. They're not bothering the devil a bit. They're not doing anything for God. And so the devil says, you don't bite me, I don't bite you. And so the snake don't strike. There's a principle here. But you see what happened when these people, the devil had them down in Egypt. But when they got freed by the blood of the Lamb of God and they got out of Egypt and they started heading towards the victory lane and going toward Canaan, there's where the devil starts striking. So there's a picture of salvation and then there's a principle and then we see permission. Thank God. My wife said to me today, do you believe that God allows sometimes things to happen? Do you think God allows the devil sometimes to do things? I know he does. But boy, I thank God for this, Brother Barker, that God, he didn't just turn the devil loose. I'm glad there's a chain on him. I'm glad there's a chain on him. Hey, man, I got off the bus Sunday morning, and I was going to run to a door, knock on the door on some teenagers I visited on Saturday, and I jumped off that bus, and I started around that bus heading over there running, and I looked up, and there's a pit bulldog raised up. And listen, he had a head big as a basketball. And listen, boy, he was showing his teeth. And I want to tell you, buddy, this old man got back on that bus. And Bill said, you ain't going over? I said, no, buddy, that's what that horn's for. Blow that horn and let him come out. I ain't about to go over there and get bit. No. Hey, I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. I ain't going over there and get my leg tore off by some pit bulldog. Somebody say amen. Hey, let me tell you something. That sometimes the devil, sometimes I know this, the devil's an accuser of the brethren, but once in a while, when the devil accuses, God will turn him loose and give him a little bit of rope to prove that we're what we say we are. Are you following me? So it's not only a picture of salvation and then the principle, see, but then now here we see permission from God. Now let me show you some things. So I want us to look. I ain't really got but 2 points, but I got a lot of sub-points, and I'm trying to get through it and help you. I want us to see the setting here when the serpent strikes. I want to say, first of all, when people get discouraged. Hey, let me tell you something. Discouragement, we don't really think of that as is too bad of a thing about discouragement. But let me tell you about discouragement. When it festers, it really goes haywire. Hey, when it festers, brother, it stops everything. Hey, let me tell you something. Discouragement's a bad thing to happen. And when you get discouraged, it causes other things. For instance, whenever Elijah got discouraged, he had a great victory in chapter 18 of 1 Kings when he defeated them prophets of Baal and the fire came down and he prayed fire down and all of the things he done. He took out all them false prophets and boy, I mean to tell you, what a victory. But then in the 19th chapter, we see that great man of God running with his servant. They're running and the Bible said that he sat down under a juniper tree. Sat under the juniper tree. Let me tell you something. If you read that thing, it says, and he left his servant there. One thing he did, he isolated himself from other people. Let me tell you what you need. You need this church. Now, you might think when you get discouraged, well, I just won't go to church. Listen, that's why you do need to be here. You need to come in here because you never know when somebody's going to walk up with a smiling face and tell you, man, you don't know how much I love you and appreciate you, and we're so glad you're here. And, brother, it's just being treated kind and people loving you. You need to be here because that's where you get encouraged. Elijah, and he's a great man, but that wasn't smart when he left his servant there and got by himself. See, the devil can work you over when you get by yourself. You're not careful. He can talk to you. He said, he don't talk to people. Oh, yes, he does. Old Tom Malone said one night, He was driving home, and he'd been preaching a meeting, and he was driving back home, and it was snowing up there in Michigan and cold, and he's driving home, and he said it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. He's a Saturday night, and him trying to get home to preach in the morning, and said here he was out on his slick roads and wind blowing snow, and he said all of a sudden, I didn't even know anybody was riding with me, and somebody spoke up and said, Malone, you're crazy. You're an idiot. Look, Tom, look at all these houses around you where you're driving. The lights are not on. Other men are in the bed with their families. What are you doing running up and down the road and traveling 200 or 300 miles to go preach? There ain't nobody listening to you no how. And old Tom Malone said, man, before I know what happened, he said, discouragement doesn't come over me. He said, I pulled that car over on the side of the road. True story. He pulled it over on the side of the road and said he got out, walked around on the passenger side, opened the door and said, get out. Get out of my car. And he said, the Bible said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And Tom Malone said, this is my car and I'm buying the gas and you're not riding one more mile with me. And old Dr. Malone said, I slammed the door, got back in there, and had a good trip all the way home. You know what he did? Instead of getting discouraged, he realized who was doing the talking. And these Jews that was traveling here, they got to looking at that light bread instead of looking that every day God was feeding them. And they got to looking at things, and they got their eyes on the circumstances and people and got their eyes on things and got discouraged. Folks, let me tell you something. If you're not careful, you'll get discouraged easy. And then let me show you something else. When you get discouraged, it's easy to get disgruntled. See, they went from discouraged in the way to being disgruntled. When they got disgruntled, they spoke against God and against Moses. They got talking about their preacher. And they got saying, well, I don't know about all this. I don't know. We ought to just stayed where we was at. At least we didn't have to walk every day. Yeah, but you know something? While they was walking, there was a cloud over them that kept the heat off of them. They had built-in air conditioning. There was a cool over them. Why? That Shekinah glory cloud was over them that kept everything cool. And then at night, it got cold in that desert, and God would flip this thermostat and let the heat come down on them Jews. And they slept good because of the warmth. And then in the morning, God had turned that air back on. And while they was traveling, they had that cloud over their head. And then every day, God out of that cloud would let the manna come down. And God let the water be there. Everything was there, but they got discouraged. Hey, you ought to listen, a man gets discouraged in his mind because of what you think about. Hey, God's good. Hey, God's good. Now, I'm telling you, you can think negative and get discouraged. Hey, yesterday I went to the Baptist Hospital, Brother Barker, and I went over there, and I'll be honest with you, I was so tired, I couldn't hardly, get in and out. I've never been so tired, and I've been going hard, and I was wore out. And I got to thinking about that diabetes, got to think about the heart trouble and all that. Well, I was going to see a fella that had diabetes and had just had a heart surgery. And I got in there, and I thought I felt bad, but when I got in that ICU unit, and I walked in there and I seen that man laying there with his chest laid open. Hey, a man much younger than me, blood clots had set in on his arm and his hand had turned black and the doctors had just come in and told him he's probably going to lose his hand. They don't even know if he's going to make it, a young man. And I stood there and cried with him and prayed with him. Now, I'm simply saying, hey, when I come out of there, I was whistling a different tune. I said, hey, boy, you're doing good for 67 years old. Hey, I start walking a little taller and feeling a bit good. And I said, you're doing pretty good. And then I said, God, thank you. Every good gift, including your health, everything you got that's good, God give it to you. Brother, let me tell you, it's what you think about. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You want to get discouraged? Think about discouraging things. Get your mind on all this mess going on all over the country. Sit around and watch that bunch on CNN and Fox News and listen to that crowd. Brother, you'll be going down here somewhere, get on a bridge and jump off. Because of discouragement. But let me tell you something. Then, after discouragement comes disgruntled. Then first thing you know, you're voicing it. Well, I don't think we need to do this. I don't know what they think we're doing. I'll tell you what you're doing. You're trying to get to Canaan. That's what you're doing. And while you're getting there, God's taking care of you. Boy, I remember one time getting discouraged. Hey, Brother Mark, this will help you. We was trying to build a building. We was trying to build a building. And all of a sudden, offerings seemed like for about 4 or 5 weeks, just for some reason, it just went down. Man, it was in the winter time, cold and raining. And I remember coming in there one Monday morning, and old Sandy Lucas was our treasurer and balanced our books. And I come in, I said, Sandy, how was the offering yesterday? And she said, well, we're probably all right, but it wasn't too good. And it wasn't too good the week before. And I just had to drive to the hospital that morning early. And I drove over there, and I come back pouring the rain. They just built that Sheets there off of Interstate 40 there in Moxville, that Sheets convenience store there, you know, gas store. And I stopped in there that morning to get me a cup of coffee on the way back. Raining, I mean, just pouring. I was in an old 86 Ford truck, sitting there with the wipers going this way and sitting there just looking out the windshield, pulled right up in front. And I was sort of waiting for it to get a little break so I could dart in there. And I was sitting there, and here come a minivan pulled in right beside me. And out of that minivan was about a little girl, looked like she was about 8 or 9. She had a styrofoam bowl of cereal she had been eating that morning for breakfast, no doubt. It still had some milk in it and some cereal. And I was watching her. She's trying to run. And if she went by that trash can had a shield over it with a little light under it. And then it had, the hole there where you put the garbage in. And I was sitting there just looking and half discouraged over the offerings and just thinking, you know, what are we going to do? Man, we're trying to build a building. And I just sat there. And all of a sudden that girl got out of that van and went running in that store. And she took that little styrofoam bowl and she just sort of pitched it at that trash can. And some of the milk hit the side of the trash can, but a lot of it missed and went up under there where that little old shield was on that trash can. And up under there, there was a little bird about this big on there just trying to stay dry. And he was up under there just looking around. I was watching him. When she throwed that bird flew out of there, but he just made a little circle and come right back. When he come back, there was a bunch of Cheerios that had been soaked in milk laying under there. And that little old bird landed on them Cheerios. And Brother Bark, he started pecking and he'd look up. And you know what he was doing? He was just waiting on God. And he was just waiting on God. That little old bird was in there just waiting on God down there. And when that little, and that girl don't even know she fed him. She didn't even know she was used of God to feed that bird. And when she slung that cereal bowl up there, she missed it, but it was her accident, but it was God's own purpose. That cereal went up there, and you know what he's doing? He said, my birds need fed this morning. And I'm going to let that little girl that thinks she got full, and I fed her, and I'm going to feed them. And you know what it was? And I was sitting there, and then all of a sudden it dawned on me, hey, Dumbo, don't you think if God loves that little bird enough to feed him, don't you think that there's a God in heaven that'll take care of you? And then I sat there, tears running down my face. And I said, Lord, forgive me. And I said, I'm sorry that I even thought the way I thought. And let me tell you something. And we never missed a beat. What I'm trying to tell you is, look up, because there's a God in heaven. So don't get discouraged. But it happens. And when it does happen, and I'm going to give you a little bit, if you're not careful, you let it fester, it turns into being disgruntled. When you get disgruntled, nothing don't look right. When you get disgruntled, when it gets to that, it's festered, and something like that's sore. So when you come in, somebody says the least little wrong thing, do you mean anything? Or maybe they didn't say anything, and that was the problem. And you come in and that choir gets up like they did tonight. Boy, they start singing and you don't get a blessing. It don't do nothing for me. You ever heard people say, well, it just ain't doing nothing for me. Well, what it is, it ain't nothing wrong with the choir. They're singing them songs that used to bless you. Have you ever thought about it? It might have come from that discouragement that got festered that made you get disgruntled. And now you can't get a blessing. Are you following me? Then here's what happens. Then there's dissatisfaction. You go, well, we're going to look for another place. We're going to look for another place. Worst move you can make. Brother, you better, listen, you better just hang in there. You better just hang in there. You don't get to say, hey, let me tell you something. It ain't going to be, the grass ain't going to get greener somewhere else. I'm just going to tell you this. Very, very few times, and I ain't going to say God don't ever move anybody, but I will tell you this. Lots of times, I will tell you this. He never moves anybody when you're discouraged. That wasn't God. That wasn't God. Brother, let me tell you something. Set still. Set still. Don't be disgruntled. Don't get discouraged, because then comes dissatisfaction and you're thinking there's something wrong with the place. And let me tell you, I've learned this. If you'll stay in a place like this right here, it's moving. And brother, I'm going to tell you something. Some of you couples in here, you know what? I'd want to stay so that down the road I'd have war stories. Now, I mean by this. You said, I remember when there's going to be people that's going to come in here and join this church. And you know what? After a while, you got some bragging rights others ain't got. You'll say, yeah, I've been here for years and years. I remember when they bought that bus. I remember when they bought that piece of property right there. I remember when we built that building. I remember when we moved out here. I remember when we had a big day of, and they said, oh my, we got people right now said, oh my goodness. Boy, I'd like to have been here when that happened. Boy, I'd like to have been a part of that. I bet that was exciting. I said, oh man, you can't imagine. But what it is, you got to not be discouraged, not be disgruntled, and not get dissatisfied. Because let me tell you what happens. Once you get bit, then comes death. These people was dying. These people were dying. I mean, there was people actually, these Jews, many of these people right here died. And Moses, because he loved those people, cried out to God and said, God, what can we do? He said, get a pole and take a piece of brass, which is a symbol of judgment, God's judgment, and God was judging sin. He said, wrap that piece of brass around that pole in the form of a serpent and lift it up and tell them to look and live. Look and live. Any man that looks at it can live. So it was a type of the cross. They could look and live. Now, I give you the setting. I'm going to just give you the solution for when you get snake bit. Hey, you know, they tell me if you get a snake bit by a poison snake, worst thing you can do is take off running and get your blood pumping real fast, because that ain't going to help you. That's going to hurt you. Now, I'll be honest with you. If I got bit like that, I wouldn't really know what to do. But I think I'd remember that. So running out ain't going to help you. Well, what's the solution? I'm going to give you what the solution is. Hey, strike back. First of all, I ain't going to go in where there's a bunch of snakes without a stick or a shotgun or something. Are you? I'm going to have something. I'm going to have me a pump shotgun. I'm going to have on boots up to here if I can, ain't you? See? I'll have on waders, Brother Charlie. Heavy ones. Maybe one pair over another pair. Have me a shotgun. They said, there's snakes in there. And look here. Strike back first with a substitute. Hey, they had the substitute, didn't they? They had the pole with that serpent on it that was an emblem of the cross and the Savior. You can't beat Satan if you ain't got Christ. You're no match for him. Brother, let me tell you something. You don't want to take on the devil if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't want to do that. And by the way, I'm going to tell you something else. Just for the record, I'm not going hunting him. I ain't going hunting him. And you don't have to hunt him. You just do what's right, and you won't have to hunt him. He'll be hunting you. Amen? Let me give you some things here to do. Hey, so strike back. Hey, when the snake strikes, strike back with Scripture. In the book of Matthew chapter 4, there was a snake, wasn't it? And he come out to tempt the Lord. He said, if thou be the Son of God, notice the doubt. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. What did he do? It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. And then he come back again, and he said, it is written. And he come back again, and Jesus said, it is written. And he come back again, and he said, it is written. And you know what happened? First thing you know, you see him running through the brush pile. He's trying to get away from Jesus. Folks, let me tell you something. 1 Peter 2:21 says he's our example. If Christ being our example and he used Scripture on him, I better use Scripture on him. Hey, I got the Old and New Testament. I mean, I got an inspired King James Bible with a 30-round magazine. Amen? Buddy, I'm loaded. If he comes, I want to use Scripture on him. You say, what will that do? That's the only thing. He's not afraid of my word, but he's afraid of God's word. Amen? Yes, he is. And then let me say this right here. Strike back not only with Scripture, but strike back at him with supplication and prayer. Hey, you know what the Bible said? David got discouraged when the Amalekites burned his house up at Ziklag, took his wives, took the other men's wives, and the men spake of stoning David. And the Bible said they was discouraged, much discouraged, and spake of stoning David. Remember that? And you know what it says? That David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He did it himself. You say, why? Because he didn't have one man, Brother Charlie, to say, put their arm around him and said, Brother David, I'm praying for you. It wasn't none of that. They was all ready to kill him. But David didn't say this is the end of the line. Let me tell you what he done. He went in and started praying. And he said, Lord, shall we stay here or shall we pursue after them? And the Lord said, pursue. For thou shalt surely recover all. And he got up and said, mount up, boys. We're going after them. They went after them. And did they recover all? Yes, they did. And on down through there, some got weary in the way, but it said, but they tarried by the stuff. That's the next thing I want to tell you. When you get discouraged, just tarry by the stuff. So what do you mean? Just keep staying by the stuff. Come back Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Eventually, you'll come out of it. You'll come out of it. Brother, you get in there, you say, well, I just don't know if I ought to go. I remember in my life, one time getting discouraged. Now, I've been discouraged more times than that. But I remember one time, buddy, I was just about the bottom. Our pastor resigned, and I was a young Christian. I didn't understand it. And he'd resigned to church. And I'll be honest with you, man, I loved him. He resigned. I didn't understand things. And back in those days, been 50 years ago when this happened, I was in a member of an American Baptist Convention church. Well, the convention, Brother Barker, was sending people to fill in for our preacher. And I mean, some of that crowd, I see why they're working for the convention. That's the deadest bunch I've ever heard in my life. I mean, it was pitiful. Brother, it was twice dead, plucked up by the roots. I mean, it was awful. And they'd send them in there, and I'll be honest, I got discouraged because my preacher was a preacher. And I got so discouraged. I got so discouraged. And one Sunday, we pulled up in front of the church, and I hate to even admit this, but me and my wife, as back before we ever had any children or anything, we'd just been married a little while, and my mother pulled up to go into church, and we got ready to go in. I said, I'm not going to go in this morning. I was ready. I mean, I had my Bible ready. I was just so discouraged. And let me tell you what happened. That morning, I hate to even admit this, but I drove over to my grandmother's house. She said, I figured you'd be in church this morning. I said, well, I went over there. I just told her, I said, Grandma, I'm just being honest with you. I said, the preacher left, and I'm so discouraged, I just can't hardly go. I mean, I'm just on the bottom. Let me tell you what happened. That Sunday that I missed, let me tell you what happened. Frank Pittman, they called Frank Pittman in there that Sunday, and he came in and preached. And my wife and mother, when I went back to pick them up, they come out. That's the only Sunday I know I've ever missed in my life that I could have been there. They said, buddy, you missed it. Now, let me tell you what's really bad is when you're already feeling bad about what you did, and then they come out and said, oh, man, that's some of the best preaching we've ever heard in our life. Oh, you ought to heard that man preach. Boy, I mean, I got so convicted, and I got feeling bad about it, but I went back that night, and I walked in there and heard that man preach that night. And let me tell you, listen, God knit my heart to that man, and he become one of the best friends I ever had, and listen, and helped me, and helped me. But you know something? What if I'd just give up and quit and all that? And by the way, that was a mistake that morning. What I did was wrong. I'm trying to encourage you. Brother, when you get discouraged, you don't go that way. You come in here, and you get in that pew, and you sit down, and that Sunday school lesson or that choir or that message, that's special. Oh, let me tell you something. It'll pull you out of it. But then Use the scriptures to strike back. Use supplication and prayer. Then let me say this right here. Hey, strike back with service. Get involved. Get involved. Hey, last week we had a special day at our church. And we pulled the stops out and people went soul winning. And we pushed and pushed and had a good crowd of people there and had people saved and baptized. We had three or four different families that was there, and one whole family got saved. There's a whole family back here come and got saved. I said, boy, thank God. But buddy, let me tell you something. I told the people Sunday night, we'll make payments on this week. I said, the devil's going to be coming after us. Hey, you know what? On Monday, I seen a wrecker in my parking lot getting one of my men's cars. I said, what happened to it? He said, I don't know. He said, just coming on. He said, thank us. It quit. We had another lady that was out there soul winning today, had a stroke. We've had, all week long, it's been, you said, what happened? The serpent strikes. You see, if we'd have just sat still, not do anything, he won't bother you. But brother, hey, we can't do that and obey God. You can't do that and obey God. You're going to have to do something. Amen? Listen, so what do? You get involved. Get involved and do what you can. Do what you can do. You get involved, see? Then let me say this right here. Get busy at soul winning. Get you some gospel tracts with Amazing Grace Baptist Church on them and carry them. And hey, don't even carry them. Give them out. Everywhere you go, you'd be shocked. But there'll be people that'll show up here. There'll be people show up here that because of a gospel tract somebody gave. Somebody just gave a tract. I got a man that's a member of my church that worked over here many, many years ago at a factory in Winston-Salem, that a man that worked with him one day just walked by and handed him a gospel tract and said, take time to read this, friend. He said, it'll tell you how to go to heaven. The guy said, thank you. Stuck it in his pocket. Said that afternoon, when he got a break, he read it. Stuck it back in his pocket. Said when he got home from work at night, he read it again. He carried it for weeks. Weeks he carried that gospel tract in his pocket. He said, I'd get it out and read it. One night, he sat down, and when he read that tract, he said, God got a hold of my heart. And he got on his knees beside his bed and said, God, save this poor old sinner. Save this poor old sinner. Hey, one of the most faithful, diligent, best men I ever met in my life. You know why? Because a man. And he told me a while back, I said, is that guy still living? He said, oh, yeah. I said, I saw him the other day. He said, I actually went to him and thanked him for just handing me a gospel. For just handing me a gospel tract. Hey, get in the habit of it. Look for people that you can witness to and you can tell them about Christ. Brother, you want to really make Satan mad, try to keep people out of hell. That's what he really does. He don't like losing nobody out of his family into the family of God. You said, well, not in the family of the devil. Yes, they are. The Bible said we were by nature children of disobedience, children of wrath. Yes, we were. We were dead in trespasses and sins. But brother, whenever we give them the word of God and we witness to them and try to tell them about Christ, let me tell you something. They get saved. Let me tell you, brother, it'll stir things up. You want to get the rattles rattling. You start telling people about Jesus. Hey, you keep going over to that jail. You keep going in that jail and witness to them people in that jail. Hey, he's got them big time. I mean, they're in there. They're in trouble. They're down on everything. You go in there and keep telling about Christ and see. Let me tell you, you want to get the snakes buzzing? Well, let me tell you something. I would rather have the snake striking than to have God chastise me because I wouldn't serve him. Are y'all listening? Hey, I'm simply saying, get busy at soul winning. Then let me say this last thing, and I'm going to go ahead and close out. Let me say this. Strike back by standing where you ought to stand. Stand right. Stand. You know, the Bible said in the book of Ephesians, having done all, stand. Just stand for what's right. I ain't going to go out and just pick fights, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to stand. You know, here a few years ago down there, I got a letter. Some of y'all probably have done. I got a letter about doing jury duty in Davie County. I thought, jury duty? And I said, well, I'll get out of this. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. You can't get out of it. I mean, you know what I did? I wrote him letters, had my secretary write letters and said, he's in a revival this week, and I was. And they said, you're excused. I thought, boy, I'm out of it. but they said, report in such and such. And I had another meeting. I said, send them another letter. They said, you're excused, but come on in. And I went on, and Brother Bark, I ran out of meetings. I didn't have no meeting, and they said, show up. So I go in the courtroom. There was more people probably in that courtroom than there is in here. I walk in there. It was an all-day thing picking a jury. I mean, it took them all day. Have you ever been to anything like that, anybody here? I mean, it just took them. I mean, they called people up there. I thought they liked getting one, and we could get out of there. I said, man, I'm going to get out of this deal. Reverend Darrell Cox, would you come forward, please? And I walked up there. I said, would you take a seat up here? And I got up in there. And the attorney, district attorney, said, Mr. Cox, tell us a little bit about yourself. And I said, well, my name's Darrell Cox. My wife's name's Marilyn. Got three kids. Been pastoring this church down here. I don't remember how long I'd been there then. I said, X many years. And I'm a Christian and all of that. Mr. Cox, we're going to try some cases here having to do with drugs and alcohol. Have you got a problem with that? I said, I got a big problem with it. I mean, I got a real problem with alcohol. I said, sir, it affected my home when I was a kid. I said, I'm just being honest with you. You probably don't want nobody coming through here if he don't want put in jail over this stuff. I said, I mean, for my part, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to deal hard with it. And the judge took his glasses off and said, Mr. Cox, you do know in North Carolina it's not against the law to drink. That's what he said. And I said, Your Honor, it's against God's law. Hey, man, I was shaking. I mean, that whole crowd up there, you could feel it. They wasn't for what I was saying. And I said, but it's against God's law. And he said, Mr. Cox, I don't think we can use you today. But you be back in the morning. I thought, oh, brother. And so in the morning, I had to come back, and they put me up there first thing. Brother Barker, I got up there, and that attorney said, Mr. Cox, I don't guess you've changed your mind since yesterday, have you? I said, not one bit. He said, you can step down. I ain't got a letter since. Amen? Hey, and you know what? All I done was just stand. Hey, let me tell you this one little story, and I'll close. I was on an airplane flying a while back to a meeting in Missoula, Montana, and I was preaching with Tony Hudson. And we were preaching together, and Tony had laid his head back and was sleeping, resting on the plane. And I had a book with me by old Dr. Vance Havner. And I was sitting there reading that book of Vance Havner. And Tony sort of raised up and looked over. He said, what are you reading? I said, I got a little book here by Vance Havner. He said, Vance Havner. Tony did. Said, Vance Havner. He said, when I was a little boy, about probably 8 or 10, Dad told me when he was pastoring Forest Hills in Atlanta, said, son, get ready with me and you're going to church tonight. He said, where are we going? He said, we're going to hear a great preacher. And he said, okay. Forest Hills in Atlanta probably is running over 2,000. Big old church in Decatur, Georgia. Curtis Hudson was the pastor. So Tony said, man, I was used to Forest Hills. I thought we're going to some big church tonight to hear this great preacher. Tony said, we got in Daddy's old blue Chevrolet and took off down the road and said, we went way out in the country and went down some old roads. He said, way back in the country. And we pulled up in front of a little bitty white church. Said there's probably 7 or 8 cars there. We pulled in a little gravel parking lot. And he said, Daddy, I thought you said we was going to hear a great preacher tonight. He said, we are. He said, well, there ain't hardly nobody here. He said, we walked in the back door. Said there's about 15 or 20 people seated in there. And he said, up on the front row was a little frail, skinny man, said shoulders wasn't that wide, sitting on the front row. And Tony said, I'm looking everywhere to see if I could see a big old great preacher somewhere. And he said, I'm just looking everywhere. He said, well, Daddy, where's he at? He said, he's sitting up there on that front row. And he said, that man, he said, was way up in years and sitting up there. And little bit, the pastor said, come on and preach, Brother Havner. And said, that little old man got up and went up there. He said, when he stood up there and he started reading the scripture, he said, tears was running down the face of my daddy. And he said, Daddy was just crying. She was just weeping. And he said, all through his sermons, and Dad just cried. He said, we got out in the car, said, Daddy sat there and just cried. And he said, Daddy, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? He said, son, that was a great man there. He said, at one time, he said, that man preached to thousands and thousands at one time all over America and all over even the world. He was from right here in North Carolina, Vance Havner. And he said, son, he said, it just dawned on me tonight when he was reading Scripture, if you stand true enough and long enough, one day you'll stand by yourself. He said, now, not a handful comes to hear him. But he said, Vance Havner stood true. And you know what? I'm not accountable for who comes and who don't come. I'm just accountable for standing. It's like they said an old black slave back in the days of the 1800s, and they had slaves, said a man walked by a slave that was on the cell blocks there and said to this slave, said, let me ask you something, son. He said, if I buy you, will you be honest? And said, that man looked at him and said, I'll be honest whether you buy me or not. And let me tell you something. We are to stand even if the snake strikes. I don't know tonight if this has helped you a bit. But I'll tell you something tonight. The snake will strike. He struck at Paul on that island of Melita. And you know what it did? When Paul was picking up wood, he was trying to be helpful. By the way, if Paul would have just stood around with a fire with his hands out like this, nothing would have happened. But you know what he did? He was trying to pick up wood. He got involved. Moving always gets him striking. And when he picked up that wood, that viper come out of the wood pile and fastened onto his hand. And the people all said, they said, he's a murderer. And God was trying to kill him with that storm. And now we see God's going to finish him off right here. And listen to this. And the Bible said, and when he should have swollen up. And when he should have, but he didn't. He didn't swell. You know, a lot of people, when they get snake bit, they swell. And then that discouragement gets in. And then that disgruntlement gets in. And then that dysfunction sets in. And then that death sets in. You see what I'm saying? But old Paul just shook it in the fire. Then shook it off. And then it said they changed their minds. There's going to be people watching you. If you get snake bit, they'll be watching how you do. And it said they changed their mind. I said, I'm going to tell you something. Now he's a God. He went from a murderer to a God to them people. You know why? He shook the snake bite off. And let me tell you, when the devil bites you, and he'll bite you, he'll try to knock you out of here. Especially when this church is moving like this one's doing. He'll be after you. Watch for him. Watch for him. He'll come around. You said, watch for him. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He don't want to just bite you. He wants you dead. You ain't talking about... Now, I ain't picking up no snake. I ain't picking up a rubber one. I ain't picking up a black one. I'm not picking up a no kind. I ain't going to handle them. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. You can mark this down. If we go through there and you said, we've been seeing a bunch of copperheads in here, I guarantee you I'm going to be watching. I'm watching. Now, I'm going to be doing my job, but buddy, I'm going to be watching what I'm doing. Hey, be on the lookout because he'll strike. But you better have a solution when he strikes. What's the solution? Scriptures. What's the solution? Supplication and prayer. What's the solution? Stand. What's the solution? Be seated in the house of God. What's the solution? Keep singing his praises. What's the solution? Keep standing true. Oh yeah. These things will work when the serpent strikes. Let's back.